today's reading. Today's reading is from Luke 15, 11 to 32. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran off to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and you never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. Lord, we thank you for this promise that you give us, that even though we may become lost to you over time, that you are always there to receive us back in your arms when we come to you in supplication and forgiveness. We remember you especially on this day as our Father in heaven to all of us, regardless of who we are, where we come from. We are all equal in your eyes, and we thank you for this. In your name we pray always, Lord. Amen.
Yesterday, I received a phone call from Armenia. This young lady called to wish me happy Father's Day. Well, after thanking her for her wishes, I said, "What about your father?" "Oh," she said, "both of my fathers are in heaven." For a moment, I didn't get it, and then I got it, and I said, "Oh, that's wonderful." She had the understanding of her Heavenly Father and her physical father to be alive and in heaven. That reminded me of my father. When I went to the hospital one day, he came to visit me, and he had this face that I had never seen before. My father was not the type of a man that he would give me a lot of credit for everything I did, and he wouldn't shower me with his comments and things. And yet he looked at me and he said, "Son, I wish I was in bed, in your bed, and you were well." And I realized that a father's heart is not always expressed the way that it works, and yet there is. But on the other hand, I've heard young people who said, I don't want to know anything about my father. I don't know anything about my father. And I care less about my father. I've heard fathers who would say the same thing about their children. So this world is full of comments when it comes to fathers and family. Now, Jesus, wanting to illustrate the Heavenly Father, he told them the story of the ideal earthly father and his two sons. These two sons, in Luke 15, both became prodigal for a time. Someone may say, why both? Well, you'll see a little later on. The younger was prodigal in choosing the pleasures of sin and the world. Prodigal. I don't know whether it's clear to everyone what it means. In Greek is asotos. Asotos. Which means someone who just leaves home and goes his own way. In Armenian is anarag, which means disobedient, who leaves home. The older was prodigal in choosing pride of self and jealousy. The father was a kind and approachable father. He was a wealthy father, and he was a loving father. His young son wanted freedom. He wanted to find out what the world and its pleasures were like. He wanted to find freedom and wanted to find what the world and its pleasures were like or are like. And today, I believe more than ever, we see this happening. I believe children leave home 12, 13, 14-year-old kids run away from home. It's not always because they want to find something better. It's because they find nothing at home. And other times they find that what they have, what is being given to them is not enough. They want to find more pleasures. They want to find more freedom. They want to find more friends that are appreciating them. And so they leave home. And they start enjoying, for a time at least, what this world offers. He selfishly took whatever he could and he left home for the unknown. I believe that every young person, every man or a woman who leaves home to find something better, usually finds something that is more painful than what this person left behind. The husband who leaves his wife and children to find a better looking wife and more freedom, he realizes very quickly that that's not what's happening. The wife that leaves the husband for a better man and better whatever she's searching for finds, will realize very quickly that what that pleasure, that freedom only lasted for a short time. He quickly started to live a wild and exciting life. A wild and exciting life. All you hear today on television, visit any website, is excitement being offered. Excitement, pleasure being offered. And in those days, they didn't even have these things, television or computers and things, and yet he knew that there were a lot of kids out there, a lot of people, young people, who were enjoying some things that he was not allowed to enjoy at home. And he started living a wild and exciting life. And this wild and exciting life usually ends up being something that will enslave them and destroy them. He wanted to live his life his way. He wanted to fulfill his dreams. His dreams were what his father disapproved of. His dreams were to be with women that would give him everything he dreamed, and yet he didn't realize that all they wanted was his money and his health. He wanted to enjoy things that his father would not permit to do. And yet when he got them, after a while he realized that had done a mistake, made a mistake. He dreamed leaving home, and he did it. He dreamed of a great freedom and power, but he found great disappointment and failure. He dreamed of great adventures, but instead he found agony. He dreamed of romance and love, and instead he found rags and betrayal. He dreamed of success and happiness, but instead he found himself feeding pigs. He dreamed leaving home, but instead he was now thinking of a way to return to his father, who was approachable father. And while he was in the pig pen feeding pigs, this young man remembered that his father was a loving and compassionate father. He finally came to his senses and said, and I quote, "I will go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" When he said, "I have sinned," he did not try to excuse himself, but he took all the blame on himself. And very often when we ask for forgiveness, a husband or a wife asking forgiveness, when children come to ask for forgiveness, when we are put on the spot to explain why we did this and why we failed our family, why we failed our company, why we failed our classes, why we failed and we did something wrong, instead of breaking down like this young man and asking for forgiveness or at least confessing our sin, we have a long story and all kinds of excuses and reasons why. It was because my father was an alcoholic, because my mother was this, because I was poor, because I was born in a country, because of my religion, because of that. Instead of doing any of that, this young man said, "I have sinned against heaven and against you, Father." This prodigal son, in his mind, associated his father with heaven. He said, "I have sinned against heaven and against you." What he actually meant was that when he thought of heaven, he thought of his father. And when he thought of his father, he thought of heaven. What a wonderful way of thinking. He could not be thinking of God without remembering his father. His father was a man who walked with God. His father's life had made a great impression on his son. His son could not forget or escape from this powerful impression his father had made on him. He remembered his father's prayer for him, his devotion, his love, his godly walk, his faithfulness. This father was a godly man. What about Christian fathers today? And I believe that every one of us is responsible for what impression we leave on others. I believe a mother is responsible for the impression she leaves on her daughters or son or sons. A father is responsible for how the children perceive him to be and what impression he leaves on the children. The children who have a father who smokes cannot be blamed for smoking. The children who have a father who wastes a lot of money on stuff that are useless cannot be blamed for doing the same thing. The children and the family of a man who indulges in immorality cannot be blamed or looked at and say, well, it happened. It's often the family, the father, that allows this. And that reminds me of one of the men in the Bible that has been mentioned, and I always very often mention Eli. Eli was a great priest. He was feared by men, and Eli was respected by men for a while, and then his sons started playing all kinds of dirty games in the temple, in the synagogue. He looked at them and said, well, you know, only these are boys. Boys will always be boys and do the things that boys do. And he sort of looked the other way. And when it came to his attention that they were having a relationships with girls in the synagogue or in their gathering, he, instead of sort of throwing them out or talking to them or calling them and making sure that they understood what they were doing was sinning against God, he sort of said, hey, boys, watch it. And for that, God punished not only his children, but punished him severely. And I believe our responsibility as fathers, as grandfathers, as mothers, and as brothers, as human beings, is there. We are responsible. We are our brother's keeper, the Bible says. We do have something to say or something to do, but before we say something and before we do something to others, we must look in our hearts and lives whether we are and compare ourselves with this ideal father that is described by Jesus Christ. This father was a loving and affectionate father. Verse 20 says, he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. This father never stopped loving him. And this is something that we as Christians might deal with and understand. That even when I sin, God still loves me. God even loves me more now because he knows I'm going through a terrible time. Because anyone who sins loses his peace or her peace. Anyone who sins and lives in sin and it doesn't bother him or her has already walked away, or the heart has been hardened, or was never a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet, this father looked at the road. Forever, since his son had left home, he was, I believe, lately sitting there outside, maybe, or through the window, watching and waiting for his son. His love was unconditional love. This father did not run after him, but he was waiting for him to return. And again, all kinds of religious doctrines are made, and all kinds of doctrines are being preached, and all kinds of points of view are being taught and preached. And yet the only truth, the only source of wisdom, the only book, and the only place where you'll find the absolute doctrine of God is the Bible. If I say anything this morning or at any time that is not, you cannot find it in the Bible, if I say anything or defend an argument or present a doctrine that is not biblical, it is your responsibility to speak to the elders, to speak to me, and point that error. And if you don't, and that becomes your responsibility. But when you hear the truth, don't look around to find something more acceptable. Don't look to find someone else who preaches a gospel that tickles your ears. Don't look to another doctrine that will approve the way you believe or the way you live. Those who have this problem in their life, look for a church that will tolerate that problem. The people who have a doctrine that they like, they will look for a church that presents that doctrine rather than what the Bible says. And people today have made for themselves gods, if you wish, of people and doctrines, and worship them rather than worship God. This father did not run after him, but he was waiting for him to return, I said. This son had everything he needed. He didn't have everything he wanted, but he had everything he needed. He didn't have prostitutes available at home, so he wanted them. He didn't have a lot of drinking and living a life, a riotous life at home, and yet he wanted that. He wanted total freedom, and he found it. And yet, he found himself eating what the pigs were eating. The Father did not run after him. And our Heavenly Father is not going to force someone to follow, to stay with him. He is not going to force. And it is the free will that God has given each one of us to either look up to God and say, God, I can do nothing. I am failed. I'm drowning in sin. Or I'm drowning in religion. I'm drowning in doctrines. I am messed up. All I want right now is your help. And that does not mean that I'm doing something. People have accused me and others that means that you work for your salvation. That's not working for your salvation. That is begging God to help you, because no longer you can deal with all the pressures you have, all the doctrines you have, all the religions you have, all the pleasures that are available, and you ask God to please, please help me. And then he comes and helps you. And then you say, thank you, and you follow him. And no problems, no one can touch you, no one can take away what God gives you. You have now to follow Christ. But God will not break down your door. God will not come to your home and say, I force you, I demand you become a Christian. And no, he says, I am at the door and knock. This is our Heavenly Father who is outside knocking, and he is not breaking down the door. He wants us to go and open the door and invite him in. And when you invite him in, he says, I'll give you everything that you need. Everything you need. And when he saw his son returning to him, he ran to meet him. I believe all God wants from us is the willingness to invite him in. All God wants from us is our availability, not our ability. No one is able to do God's work unless he gives that power. It made no difference that his son had left him and wasted all he had. It doesn't matter how sinful you are, how sinful anyone is. You may have murdered 10 people. You may have committed all kinds of terrible acts. You may have lived an immoral sexual life or drunkenness or whatever else it is, gambling. You gambled away your life. You gambled away your home. Whatever it is, God doesn't care. God wants you to come back, to at least ask him to come and help you. And he will. It made no difference that his son smelled like the pigs he was with. It did not make any difference that he smelled like pigs, like the stuff that they were in. He did not make any difference. Now, his other son was clean and nice and there and with him. And yet he ran to meet that boy that was smelling like a pig. And he hugged him. The filthy rags he was wearing made no difference. Nor did his empty pockets make any difference. God is not asking for your nice clothing. God is not asking you to give money that you don't have. God is not asking you to first clean up yourself and then come to Him. God is going to do all that. People have said to me, "Pastor, I want to be a Christian. I want to get baptized, but I'm going to wait until I clean up my act." And if they wait until they clean up their act to make a commitment to Christ and be baptized, they will never make it. They'll never make it. Because we are never clean enough, pure enough, holy enough, perfect enough to make it into heaven. And it's His blood that washes away our dirt. It is His blood that is the price that He paid on the cross for our salvation. So don't believe any preachers. Don't believe any priests. Don't believe any churches. Don't believe any doctrines that say if you become a member of this church, if you do the way we do things, then God is going to sort of evaluate you and you'll make it to heaven. No, nothing. There's nothing we can do to excite God enough to allow us into heaven. But if we say, I have nothing, and I really need, first of all, we're talking about God. We're not talking about a church. We're not talking about this church or any church. We're not talking about a tradition or a religion. We're talking about our Creator. Our Creator doesn't care whether you're black, white, Protestant, Catholic, or whatever. You are a human being that He has created, and He loves you, and He is waiting for you. And He says, if you come, you will see you'll be perfect. And then keep it clean. This father loved his son unconditionally. But his father loved both his sons. The one who was at home and the one who had just returned from home. He loved both. And yet the older son thought that he loved his other son more. And he probably, the other son, the prodigal son thought, well, surely my father loves this other son more because he is good, he is clean at home. And Jesus gives us the story so plainly that this father, the perfect father, God, loved both equally. But when the son that was lost came, that was the moment for him to rejoice. That was the time for him to show all that pure love he had for him. I wish I could say the same about the brother who had stayed home. In Luke 15, verses 28 to 30, we see no such love toward his brother who had just come home broken and repentant. And I quote verse 28, 29, and 30. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." The failures of both his sons did not stop him from loving them both. Very often we have people who criticize a newcomer in the congregation. We have people who will judge and say, I have spent, given all my life for the church. I've cleaned the pews. I've painted the walls. I've paid a lot of money. I've done this and I've done that and I've supported this. And this guy comes in from the street. Look at him, how he is. And the pastor goes and the elders go. I hope they do. And welcome him and help him out and love him. I hope they do. They should. And the others are jealous now. But God says, you fools, this man has a soul that is worth as much as your soul. We have become so selective. We have become so selfish. But Jesus gave us the best possible example of a father that does not discriminate. He expects more. Now, when the prodigal son came here to learn his lesson, the older son had learned no lessons. He just enjoyed his father's wealth and whatever the father had. And yet, this prodigal son had wasted all his portion, but he had learned a very expensive lesson: to be obedient and to love his father. Our failures, your failures, have not stopped God from loving us, loving you. But you must return to God to receive his forgiveness and love. Don't stay where you are, thinking that God will not forgive and restore you. He is waiting for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being such a loving and wonderful Father, and you patiently wait for us to come to you. Forgive us our sins and restore us and revive each one of us. And may your blood wash away our past and restore us and give us a new beginning, a new life to follow you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.